Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic, The Search for God's Word, which is part of a larger series that will be for several months here on Grace Alive, entitled Bible, Bible, Who's Got the Bible? We're taking this time to understand how to locate and identify God's Word and the importance of understanding that you have in your hands the very Word of God and the words of God written on the page. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 is our starting point for this series of studies. So if you want to take a moment now and turn to 2 Timothy 3:16, that's where we will begin. And as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. And Grace Alive, at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how to contact us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have about the program. Or if you'd like to receive the CDs or DVDs of this series of studies, not only this month, but all the studies dealing with locating and identifying the Word of God. Also, for this series of studies, we have a booklet that contains all the information in written form also. So we look forward to hearing from you if you'd like to receive any of those things without any cost or obligation. Right now, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, we read this: All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This passage of Scripture, as we've been seeing, Paul talks about all Scripture if we're going to say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and all Scripture accomplishes these things, all Scripture is what equips us to be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, all Scripture is what the man of God needs, then we need to understand how we can find all Scripture. That is, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus Christ said in his earthly ministry, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's actually a pretty good definition of what all Scripture is. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We started this portion of this study in Bible, Bible, Who's Got the Bible, looking at the search for God's Word. We saw that there are at least two different lines from which our modern English Bibles come. One represented by the King James Version, which is approaching its 400th anniversary, and then the other represented by the what we would call new versions of Scripture. We represented that with the New International Version as we did some comparisons a couple weeks ago. And we saw that there clearly is a difference, there clearly is a distinction between those two sets of Scriptures, those two sets of manuscripts from which those English Bibles are translated. We saw that, in fact, there are differences in words in places, in phrases, in whole verses being either added to or taken out, and in one case, in a whole portion of a chapter, 11 verses being taken out or added to, as the case might be. We spent last week, and we're going to continue this week, understanding why is all that important? Does it matter that a word is missed here, a word is added here, a phrase is left out here, a phrase is added here, a verse is missing here, or a verse is added here? Does all that matter? And last week, as we began to consider that question, we looked at the verses in God's Word that talk about God not wanting us to add to or subtract from His Word. That's the important thing. We don't want to do this based on man's wisdom, from man's perspective. The whole reason that a book you can trust is one of the four foundations and four pillars of truth is that we need to have that objective source from outside of us. We need to have an objective source that is not based upon our own prejudices and our own wants and our own desires. We need to have a standard and a source that is objective, not subject to us, but objective, an object outside of us. That standard is the Word of God. And the Word of God says that God does not want us to add to or subtract from that word. And we saw, as we considered that issue last week, the importance not just of the word of God, because generally we talk about the word of God, meaning the whole thing, but we saw the importance of the words, plural, of God. That the word of God is made up of words of God. And in fact, it goes beyond that. Even we saw the statement of Christ that not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law to all be fulfilled. Going down beyond the words to the very letters and the very inflection marks over those letters in the Hebrew language. So not one jot, not one tittle. The word's all important, and we are not to add to or subtract from. So the issue is not just when you compare these Bibles, well, do they have the same general idea? Do they express the same general thought? The general thoughts and ideas are not what's at issue. What is at issue is the words. Let's look at a verse. I quoted it earlier, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. The definition for Scripture and for what inspiration is, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, is a good definition for that. He answered and said, this is Jesus Christ being tempted by Satan, and he answers him this way. Now, he's quoting the Old Testament, incidentally, here. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And he says this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And you notice that statement. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. Again, the issue is not just the word as a whole, but the words. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the words on the page are important, and not adding to those or subtracting from those is important. Today we want to look at another reason why it's important to be able to locate and identify and be sure that we have all Scripture. And that is because it is only through God's Word that we can gain spiritual enlightenment and understanding and have a connection to Jesus Christ. This book is the only objective standard that you have that connects you to God, to His salvation, and to Jesus Christ. That's it. Apart from this book, you have no contact and connection with God. Apart from what's revealed in this book, you have no knowledge of the gospel. Apart from having this word dwell in you, you have no way to live out the life of Christ that resides in you. In fact, you have no way even to obtain the life of Christ without the information that's in this book. This book becomes the point of contact, the connecting point between man and God. We oftentimes talk about the fact that Jesus Christ became a man, and He was truly God and truly man, and He is that connection, and that's certainly true, but He's no longer here on the earth. He's no longer here in the flesh, but there is something here that is equal to Him, that is that point of contact. We're going to look at that as we go on today, that this book, the written word, is equal in every way to Jesus Christ, the living word. And just as Jesus Christ was able to bridge the gap between God and men, so this book bridges the gap between God and men and gives you, as a mere finite human being, that point of contact with an infinite God. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms chapter 138. Psalms 138. There is a verse here where God talks about His Word and what He thinks about His Word and the status which He gives it. And the reason He gives it this status is because it is just what I said. It is that point of contact between God and men. Psalm 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. the Lord magnify even higher than His name, the name above every name. We're told that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. He's given Him a name above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that at His name, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. But there is something even above that name, and that is the Word. The Word of God is elevated even above the name of God and the name of Christ. Why does God elevate it to that point? Because it is that point of contact. It's His way of connecting with His creation. It is the infinite thoughts of an infinite God placed into the finite words of mortal man. When we talk about inspiration next month, we'll talk more about that. The infinite words, or thoughts rather, of an infinite God placed into finite words of mortal man. That's quite an accomplishment, and it is what God did to have contact with His creation. Turn, if you will, to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And look what Paul says about the Word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's through the Word that the Holy Spirit speaks to mankind. It's through the Word that the Holy Spirit convicts mankind. It's through the Word that the Holy Spirit convinces mankind of his need for salvation. It's through the Word that the Holy Spirit presents the gospel of salvation. All of that is accomplished by the Holy Spirit through the written Word of God. Turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and verse number 17. And they would read this: So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The book of Hebrews tells us without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, follow this reasoning. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. By hearing what? By hearing the Word of God. So without the Word of God, there's nothing to hear. Without hearing the Word of God, you can't have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So without the Word of God, it is impossible to have that contact point, that connection to, and please God, your Heavenly Father. It is impossible to come to salvation. It is impossible to come to eternal life. It's impossible to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ apart from the written Word of God. The passage that we've been using as our starting point, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given that these things might be accomplished. All Scripture is given that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. It's the Scripture that allows you to be perfect, justified in God's sight. It's the Scripture that allows you then to take that justification, that perfection that you have in Christ, and live it out and equip you to good works. It's the Scripture that accomplishes that. And without the Scripture, without the Word of God, there's a great famine, there's a great void in mankind. Turn back to the book of Amos, the Old Testament book of Amos, and see what the Scripture has to say about itself and about the lack of Scripture and what the lack of Scripture can cause. That there is a time when there will be a lack of the Scripture. Amos chapter 8 and verse number 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And you notice, as we go through these verses, just I want you to notice how many times when God's referring to His own Word, to His revelation, He uses the word words. You see, that verse doesn't say, I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or of thirst of water, but of the hearing the word of the Lord. It's not just hearing the word of the Lord, it's hearing every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's hearing the words. There'll be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Verse 12, they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Faint for thirst. What kind of thirst? Well, not a physical thirst, not thirst for water, but thirst for spiritual things. In that day, the young men and the young women will faint from thirst. God has chosen to reveal himself through the written word. He revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ as a man, the living word, but the way he revealed himself that stays, even after the living word was put on a cross and crucified and ascended back to the Father, something remained. And what remained is the written word. That written word that God gave has been preserved. As we go through this series of studies, that's another issue that we will discuss, the issue of preservation. Not only did God inspire his words and put them on the page, but he preserved those words so that today you and I possess them. God's word has been preserved. And because both Jesus Christ and the Bible are the word of God, one the living word, one the written word, your only access to the living word comes by way of the written word, and the two of them are equal in every way. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John. John chapter 1 and verse 1. And you'll notice in John chapter 1, the name, the title that Jesus Christ is given. John chapter 1 and verse 1, we read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Down in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ is called, one of his titles is the Word. And that Word became flesh, was made flesh and became the living Word, living in human flesh, Word, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory of who? The only begotten of the Father. It's the Father's glory, full of grace and truth. The Father's grace and truth in Jesus Christ, full of his glory. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, and look what the writer of Hebrews says about the written word. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Jesus Christ is called the Word. He is the living Word. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, we read about the written word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God, and this is a reference to the written word, the word of God is quick. And the word quick in your King James Bible is an English word that means living. When something is quickened, it means it's made alive. We were quickened. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, we were quickened. What's that mean? We're made alive. The Word of God, the written Word, is quick. That is, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God, the written Word of God, is alive. So when we say the living Jesus Christ is the Word, the living Word, the written word is alive. There is a connection between the living word, Christ, and the written word, which is also alive. The word was made flesh. The word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That book, as you read it, it reads you. As you seek to understand it, it is identifying and reading your thoughts and your intents. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts of men. Just like Jesus Christ can read you, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he looked at men and knew their thoughts and knew what they were thinking, could read them and could tell it back to them. So when you read that book, it discerns the thoughts and intents of your heart. And we want to just take a moment now, in the time we have left, and just look at some other ways that the living word, Jesus Christ, and the written word, your Bible, are the same. You know that it's said of both of those, Jesus Christ and the Bible, that they can both save you. Look here in the book of Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews 7 verse 25. And turn also to the book of James chapter 1 and verse 21. Hebrews 7 verse 25 and James 1 verse 21. Hebrews 7 25 says this. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now that's a verse, a passage, a reference to Jesus Christ. He, Christ, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, by Christ, seeing he ever liveth, he, Christ, is alive, to make intercession for them. So Jesus Christ can save you. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. James chapter 1 and verse number 21, we read this. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Receive, you put away filthiness and put away naughtiness, put away all the things of the world and receive the word. Receive this written word, receive the word of truth which is able to save your souls. Hebrews says Jesus Christ saves you. James says the word of God saves you. Both of them, Jesus Christ and the word, judge you. Turn to Acts chapter 17 and John chapter 12. Acts chapter 17 and John chapter 12. Acts 17 and John 12, as we look at this comparison between the Word of God and Jesus Christ when it comes to judgment. Acts chapter 17, notice verse 31. Acts 17, 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. That man he has ordained is Jesus Christ, whereof he hath given assurance to all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Who did he raise from the dead? Jesus Christ. So who's the judge? Jesus Christ. John chapter 12 and verse number 48. John 12 verse number 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, and notice again, receiveth not my words, plural, receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Who is it that judges? It's the word that judges. In one place we read, it's Christ that judges. In another we read, it's the word that judges. John chapter 14 and verse 6. John 14, 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know that those same things are said about the written word of God? It is the way, it is the truth, it is the life. Psalm 119, very quickly as we wrap things up for today. Psalm 119. And Psalm 119, notice with me, if you will, verse number 33. Psalm 119 and verse number 33. Remember, Jesus Christ makes the statement here in his earthly ministry, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Psalm 119, verse 33, Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. What does David call the statutes of the Lord? The way. You teach me the way of your statutes, of your word. John chapter 17 and verse number 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is it that's truth? It's the word that's true. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. What else is Jesus Christ? He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You see, it is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Psalm says, the word of God is the way. John says, the word of God is truth. Paul says, the word of God is life. When you talk about Christ, everything you say about him is true of the written word. There is no contact with Christ apart from all Scripture. Therefore, we need to be sure that we have all Scripture. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. If you write to us at any time during these months when we're considering the Word of God, we'll be glad to send you the CDs or DVDs of this entire series of studies, and also this booklet that we've produced here at Grace Alive entitled Bible, Who's Got the Bible, containing all the information from these 4 months of studies, looking at the Word of God and identifying all Scripture. We invite you to write to us this week, and until next week, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.